They still look at the situation, they go like, but the water is not, you know, lekker now. We don't have water, you know, and all these things that they keep complaining about. And God is saying, listen, you've hardened your hearts. I'm speaking to you now. Listen, hear my voice. And when I speak to you today, hear my voice so that you can move forward in life. And, you know, just realizing that we need to, by faith, look back sometimes. You know, faith, when you speak about faith, we're going to read that scripture today. You know, it's almost looking forward. It's a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, etc. And we're always looking forward, but we fail to look back in our faith and see the miracles that God has done and grow in a habit of faith. Not in a habit of doubt like the Israelites did, but they failed to grow in a habit of faith. And I believe God wants to say to us maybe in this day is maybe just look around, stand still, turn around and see what I've done in your life. You know, and I don't know when you gave your life to Christ, but when I looked back, I realized even before I gave my life to Christ, He was already doing miracles in my life. So through what God has done in the past, He wants to build your faith today. All right, and today, I just want to continue on a series, and we're going to continue in the next week as well. And I want to take maybe again a bit of a different look in that, you know, Hebrews 11. You've read it. Who's read it recently? Okay, so just me. Thank you. So Hebrews 11 is, you know, sometimes referred to as the Hall of Faith, right? Because now it starts to mention all these amazing guys that walked by faith. But it's interesting just before it that it actually speaks about what Christ done. And the offer that He brought is so much better than the previous one. So it starts off Hebrews 11 verse 1 and 2 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by what? By faith. The elders obtained a good report. Now, we've spoken about faith in the past and we realize that our faith is crucial to this walk with God. Okay, and we'll see later on that without it, it is impossible to please Him. But reading through this chapter, you know what was interesting to me? It's obviously Hebrews 11, 1, I mean, we've got that one. It is one of those scriptures that I will say almost someone that's newly born again would have heard it. You know, someone would have sat you down and said, listen, without a faith, come on. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence. I remember our pastor, man, when we sat through Bible school, he just walk into the class and he say, now, and then we all had to repeat the verse. Every lecture, and even mid-lecture, he would stop and he'd go, now. And then we would quote. But you know what? Once you internalize the scripture, once you start understanding this, and you understand your faith is the substance that you are hoping for. We all hope for a lot of stuff. True? But your faith is the substance of that thing. It's almost like your faith reaches out to that which you're hoping for and it's pulled down back into reality. Now, when you read chapter 11, it's quite interesting that the first thing that it says is, in chapter 3, it says, by faith, right? By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. So that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. So now, starting this hall of faith, he doesn't start with the men of faith. It's like he starts with the most basic thing. In that if you need to believe that creation was made through God just speaking. That creation was formed by Him saying, let there be light. That His Spirit hovered over the waters and He created, from chaos He created stuff. And this is the most fundamental thing. And it's interesting if we look at the world today, how, and for donkey's years now, they're trying to disprove this one thing and saying, but God did not form it. You know, it was the Big Bang or it was stuff. Now, I must just say this. I would have loved to be there when God said, let there be light. There must have been a bang. I don't know. Must have been awesome. Must have been, boom! Sun. Huh? Yes, it must have been incredible seeing God forming these things. I want to be there. I'm one day going to say to God, Lord, can you just do that? Just create something for me, please. Just speak. But in this, we need to understand that as sons and daughters of the Most High God, life and death is in the power of our tongue. And sometimes we speak a whole bunch of nonsense. Scripture says we need to call those things that be not as though they were, from faith. Now I'm just this just blesses me so much that the foundation of this is understanding that God formed the earth. Even before he continues with the rest of the guys. And I just want to take you today through these different guys. And I want to almost, when he mentions them, when I read through it, it gave me sort of a theme for what my faith should be. But how do I build this faith? How do I grow this faith that I have? Okay, so the next verse, verse 4, it says, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead. So his faith was obedient. He brought the better offering. And it's interesting, when this all happened, God comes to Cain and he says, yo, Cain, sin is lying and is knocking at your door, broer. You need to now watch. So even though Cain's offering was not pleasing to God, God actually encounters him and says, hey, listen, buddy. Understand? Okay, you've done wrong. Okay. But can we move on? Can you allow me to work in your life from here on? And it's interesting, if you look at Cain's response, when God encounters him and he says, where's your brother Abel? And all I read there is attitude. Yeah. What do the ladies do? I don't know. But it's like, am I my brother's keeper? What would ek nou weet, you know? And God says, no, wait. Your brother's blood is calling out to me. You know, and I realized that sometimes, even in our obedience of God, we want to do it our way. We want to apply what he has spoken to us, but in the way that we think it should be done. And this is the difference between the brothers, isn't it? Abel brought the offering as God wanted him to bring. Abel did not. He wanted to apply what God expected in his own way. And God is saying, you need to do it my way. Right, so the next one is quite interesting. Faith is intimate. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he didn't experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. Now, that sounds like the way to go. Jesus, I'm putting in my subscription. Can I do this? For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. He walked with God. And without faith, this is the other scripture that we know from Hebrews quite well. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. You see, I think sometimes we want the rewards without the earnestly seeking. We're like, yo, Lord, I'm a son. You know, I've given my life to you. Bless me. I want the rewards, please. But I need to apply scripture in its whole portion, not just part of or the way that, like Cain did. And then I'm applying it in the way that I think it should be done. But I believe, if I believe God exists, if I believe he's formed the heavens and the earth, if I believe he's done all these things, then I need to pursue him as the source of everything, which will influence my daily life. So let us be like Enoch, who walked with God. who pleased God. It would be interesting to have been around them and see Enoch walking with God in the way that he communed with God. I would love, because there's not much said about him, but how did that look? You know, how did he walk with God? How did he pursue God? What things did he did? Did he do? Sorry. That he did. Oh my word. How did this happen? Because I would almost want to learn from him and say, Enoch, sublif, can I learn? Please sit me down. Teach me, wise one, so that I can walk with God, that I can be pleasing to him. So faith is intimate. The next thing is faith seems crazy. And here we read about ons boetie Noah. Now, Noah was a very crazy person because in the middle of nowhere, he builds an ark. Now, I can't. I mean, come on. If I was there, Rocco, come on, dude. As ons daar was, we would have ripped him, I'm sure. I think we would have gone, worry, this guy's lost it. You know, this is the desert. Groot boot. Desert. You know, what's he going to do? Dune surfing? I'm not sure. But you see, here, Noah hears the voice of God. And he says, listen, buddy, build a boat. And to everybody around him, this looks absolutely crazy. Except Noah's focus is just in one place with God. And he obeys. Now, for me and you, sometimes your faith, the application of your faith, might seem crazy. Now, listen, can I just put in a disclaimer there that this does not mean that now you can go boss in the name of faith. And you just do anything and say, oh, yeah, but I, you know, God said I must do this. Okay, because that is yeah, that doesn't work like that. You see, the thing is, here, Noah actually heard God. God spoke to him, and he obeyed. And that's the only reason why his faith looked crazy. It seemed crazy to everybody. But when you obey God, and I mean, we've got a couple of things that has happened in our lives, like sell your business, okay? I didn't sell it. God sold it because before I could even try, it sold. And then move to Stellenbosch and go full-time into ministry. And when I got there, they went, so what are you doing here? I'm like, Jesus said I must come. They're like, good for you. And for the first year, I had to walk by faith. No salary, no nothing, just obeying this word. And that's crazy. It's not for everybody. Don't do what I did. Just hear God when he speaks to you. Because the only reason why we could go through that season, like Noah could go through this season, was because he was obeying God speaking to him. And it's the only thing that sustained us in that year was the fact that every time we were a bit, you know, iffy, then Lorette would say, but God said X, Y, and Z. And then when she's flat, I go, nee, nee, wach, God said. And that's what carried us through, is the fact that we knew that God has spoken to us. So may your faith seem crazy to those around you at times. And then we look at Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would rather would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. I know what this feels like. By faith, he made his home in the promised land. Look, just read there. By faith, he did what? He made his home. Which says a lot about this man's character to me, is that he heard this vision that God spoke and he said, I'll go. But then he occupied like he already received it. It wasn't this iffy, you know, maybe I should I, shouldn't I? No, no, no. He said, God said, go. This is the land. Pitch a tent. Build a building. I don't know. This man had faith, man. Come on. Okay. What was that? He made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, and as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. You see, because he understood when God spoke to him. He didn't have a vision just of the physical. He was actually looking beyond the fact that God is sending him to a place. He was looking forward to receive even the greater things from God. You see, in our pursuit in faith, may we not become so obsessed with the thing that God is speaking to us, but may we understand that he's got a greater thing in mind. May we not get so caught up in our little ministry and what I believe God wants me to do and all these things, but may I move beyond that into the place of faith where I know God is calling me to greater things, even beyond this world, and for his purposes. Because if we're going to focus so on the promised land, when we get there, what then? Now I've arrived. Yeah, you know, I'm in the promised land. What now? But you see, he could occupy it because he knew that God is God. He knew that God has got even greater things in store for him. So when he got there, he's like, I'm pitching my tent. We pray a lot and we speak a lot about the placing the tent pegs wider. Maybe where you are, you should put up your tent, stake your claim, and put the tents up wide because God wants to do great things through you. And do not think that I've arrived because you ain't dead yet. Okay? You're still alive in this earth at least. And there's blood pumping through your veins, and that means God is not done with you. And he's not done with you impacting people's life in this earth. So don't just go sit in your tent. The next thing, we look at Sarah. It says her faith was expectant. Now it says here, and by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age. Now, I mean, come on. These days they say you must have kids before 30. 40. 40. Is 30 the new, 40 the new 30? Okay, good. All right, so apparently before 40, you should not have kids. Now, you should have kids. Oh, man. Yeah, okay. There's no difference in the Afrikaans and the English. It's getting lost in translation here in the wirings. Any case, right, moving my pack. Okay. By faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful. And that to me is so beautiful. That despite the fact that, let's put it this way, medically speaking, this could not happen. She placed a faith expecting from the one who was faithful. I guess the question that comes up in my heart, on my mind, is do we really consider God faithful? Do we look at him in the midst of a storm and consider him faithful? You see, because it's easy to consider him faithful when everything is going well. But do I consider him faithful when everything says you cannot have children? This woman had great faith. In that despite the fact that she did not receive a son up to that point, considering him faithful in being able to do this. So, when is it too late? When is it impossible? When do you stop believing? I guess, looking at this, only when it happens do you stop believing. Count him faithful who's able to do these things. And then verse 13, it says, and I say this, is faith that goes beyond me. See, now faith gets interesting. Now it's not about me anymore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. I don't know if you've read this. They did not receive the things promised. Now you would say, but Abraham got his son. No, that was not the promise. It was not the only part of the promise. The promise said you will have a son and its descendants will be as the stars of the heavens, as the sand of the sea. Did Abraham see that? Nope. So even though he died, his faith continued in that he knew that God was about to do greater things even after he left this earth. So your and my faith is our faith in this way, that it goes beyond us. You know, am I living in my walk by faith only for me? What happens when you die? What then? Where does your faith go then? What impact has your faith had? Abraham walked with God, and that's the reason why we're sitting here. We are part of the promise because of a man who dared to walk with God, who dared to believe even beyond his physical stuff that God was able to do things. You know what? This challenges me big time. I don't know about you. I'm going, Quibus, what are your faith doing when the day that you die? How is it impacting the generations after me? How's that going to grow? Or does it end the day I go? You know, if you're going to live for that, that's what you're going to receive. But if you're going to walk with God, and you're going to hear God's voice, and you're going to obey him, then your faith might just go beyond you. You know, many of you sitting here are single, don't have kids. The day you have those, yes, because that day is coming, in Jesus' name. We can do weddings in this church. Chiselin, gaan 'n honeymoon baby met wees broer. Pressure is hectic hier so. Okay, moving on swiftly. Sorry, Nandi. Nandi is nou so rooi soos hy WP vlag. You see, are you prepared to pursue God even though what he has promised you won't see in your life? Do you have a promise like that? Are you pursuing God in that way? And then the next thing is in verse 17, faith that trusts God. And it trusts only God, because it says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, oh man, Loretta and I spoke about this. Whew, offering Isaac. You know, I don't understand Abraham's faith. But I understand the fact that he heard God, and therefore he wanted to obey. He was living for this audience of one. It's just, God, I just want to please offer my son. Yes, we'll do that. And he's just smiling. But in today, I mean, talk about crazy faith. The people around him, and I know it didn't say much, but if they knew that Abraham was going to offer his son, it's actually on tackle, Poppy. I will bind him up somewhere. You know, I think you've lost it, Abraham. You know, and even in that, sometimes when God speaks stuff to you, maybe you shouldn't share it and just obey. Because sometimes when God speaks to us about something, go blah, 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 blah. Like, what's it, Joseph, no? Blah, 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 blah. You're going to bow before me. Nah, 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 nah. And then they throw him in a gat. It was part of the plan. He just didn't know that. So maybe just be good. You might just end up in a ditch. But he just obeyed. He says, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice, he who had embraced the promise was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Look at this, verse 19. Abram reasoned that God could even raise the dead. And so, in a manner of speaking, he received Isaac back from the... Are you willing to take the very promise that God has given you and sacrifice it? And knowing that he who has promised is faithful. Do you trust in him enough to say, okay, God, this ministry or this thing you want me to do, whatever, I'll sacrifice it if he speaks to you. Because I want to tell you, It's only through this space of obedience that the promise came. And so much is reflected unto Christ, where the bok, goat, ram was provided. But the ram would not have been provided if he did not obey. So people, go and trust God, and trust only God, so that when you hear his voice, you can pursue him. And then Hebrews 11 becomes very interesting, because now it starts mentioning this whole thing about generations, where the faith that these guys had starts impacting generations. In verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau with regards to their future. By faith Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of Joseph's sons. And then look at 22, by faith Joseph. So now Joseph is on the scene. And when his end was near, spoke of the exodus of the Israelites. Now this faith blessing is going on. And then by faith in 23, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edicts. So they're doing this by faith. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had all the luxury, man. He was sorted. Money, stuff, you know, coffee. And it came, I mean, he had it all. And he said, no, I'm pursuing God. By faith, he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. How's that? That is bold, man. King, what king? I'm doing this. Bye. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea. Now look, again, the generations now. Now we're getting to the nation already. How the faith of the men that's gone before him is now touching the generations. By faith, Jericho's walls fell. They are bold now, I mean. And by faith, even someone who were not part of Israel became part of Israel. Interesting that he mentions it in this way. So our faith cannot stay with us. You know, and when we think of our faith, we immediately think on our children. But can you think nations? Can you think how your faith can impact the world? Do you dare believe God in such a way? Pursue him beyond just you. Because your faith is not supposed to be just for you. And then verse 23 and on, you can go read this, but and he says, and what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and about David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, gained what was promised, who shut up the mouth of lions. That is something that we can try. Quench the fire flames. Oh, we're not going to do this one. We might bry if we do that one. But it's this crazy stuff that you see here. I mean, verse 35, I didn't put it on there, but it says, women received back their dead, raised to life again. There was others who were tortured, refused to be released, so that they might gain even a better resurrection. Some faced jeers of flogging. Oh, that sounds quite nice. Even chains and imprisonment. They were put to death by stoning. They were sawed in two. These people that we read about in Hebrews and in the Bible were truly men of faith and women of faith. So I guess the question to us is, saints, we sit in church, we call ourselves Christians. Can the world see our faith? You see, because if our faith is going to come here every Sunday, Houston, we have a problem. May you pursue God in such a way that the greatness of his magnitude is shown in your life every day of your life. Where people cannot deny that your God reigns. And then, of course, we have to get to chapter 12 of Hebrews. And he says, therefore. Now, therefore, ja, Mariet. I just smiled when you said that this morning. Our intercessors pray. And they do hear God. Hallelujah. But he starts as he says, therefore. What does therefore mean? Everything I've just mentioned. Hello. Therefore. Everything I've just said. Okay. Then he says, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses. Hello. Who are the men and women of faith in your life? Who are those that inspire you to walk by faith? Because clearly, these guys inspired them. Man, they inspired me. They definitely did long ago. I'm here because of some of them pursuing God. I'm part of that promise. Maybe I should take that baton. Maybe I should look at this cloud of witnesses and go, what? We can do this? Okay? And then look at this. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. That's the problem with sin. It so easily entangles. It's not hard to fall in sin. I've never found that. It's so easy. It's like, oops, done it. Oh, but sorry, Christians. In front of me, it's just me doing this. But the thing is, we need to throw off everything, get rid of everything. Everything. Everybody say everything. Everything. And the sin, that's so easy. What sin is in your life? Nothing, Quibus. I want to see you in the traffic in the morning. Yo, Philistine, yay. Do you stop at a stop street? It's called a stop street. Near Komani. You know what's interesting, Lorraine and I, we've tested this theory. People that drive slow. You know those guys that in a 60 zone, they're going, and there's a white line. So as a Christian now, I cannot overtake him. You know what he does when he gets to the stop street? Nothing. So I'm wondering, you know, is it a matter of balancing out the thing? I'm not driving the speed limit, so I've got grace, so I can just go, you know, stop street, no. Michael Jackson, move. Boom. Okay, I'm going to go there. When they looked for something against Joseph, Daniel, so I always get it wrong. When they looked for something, go read the scripture. They said they wanted to get something against Daniel on which they can go to the king and say, he does this, this, and the other. If those that are looking to discredit you as a Christian walk by your side or follow you and look through the bosses, will they be able to find something to discredit your Christianity? Like not stopping at a stop street. That one is free this morning. It's not part of the message. But saints, if we're going to be saints, it means holy. Being holy ones. How can we not obey the laws of this world? If I don't obey the laws of this world, do you think I can expect him to do this? No. If you are not obeying the laws of this world, how can you speak to anybody that does not serve God? In any case, back to Hebrews. That's a sin that easily ensnares. Okay. And then I'm not even talking about God's laws and the things he expects. All right. So, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. They all had one thing in common. They fixed their eyes on God. They were living for an audience of one. They were not chasing stuff. They were pursuing God above all things. They did not know about Jesus. They had the promise of the Messiah. And yet, even though they didn't receive Christ, they pursued him as though he did. They looked to God in a big way. Yet here we sit, after Christ was here, lived and died. What do we do with that, saints? What do we do with that? We need to take our faith and pursue God above all else. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners. Are we having opposition from sinners? I don't know. So that you will not grow weary and lose heart. So he's saying here that you need to look to Jesus despite the fact that you're facing anything. Because you know what? What he went through is harder. I love that picture. I don't know if you've seen it on Facebook where what's our actor's name? Sitting with Jesus. Mel Gibson. They've got, and the guy that's playing Jesus, and I mean, he's got all this blood and the crown on his head, and Mel Gibson is looking, and then the thing just says, trying to explain to Jesus why you don't want to go to church, or you know, there's quite a few different ones. And sometimes I feel like in my situation that I'm going through this stuff, and then when I look around and I see the cross, I see what he's gone through, then I go, no worries, Lord, I've got this. We'll do this. You endured it all. You've gone through so much to pay for my salvation, to reconcile me with you. I'll just die for you now. It's fine. Very quiet here this morning. So, developing strong faith in our lives is crucial. For as we saw last week, the just shall live by faith, not by church attendance. That too. Because it says, don't miss the gathering of the saints. In any case, but we shall live by faith. And saints, if we say that we are walking by faith, I had someone a couple of years ago going through something and spoke to him and he said, no, I'm trusting God for X, Y, and Z. And I go like, oh, okay. And there was money involved in rent and stuff like that. And obviously, this was middle of the month. So when it got closer to the month, by about the 28th, I got a call. He's like, listen, can you help? And I'm like, excuse me, did you not say you trust in God? Are you not saying that you have faith in God? Now you phone me to help you? Sorry, man, God's not here, it's not me. Trust him. If you're going to say you trust God, trust God. You're going to walk by faith, walk by faith. But sometimes we try and grab at straws and we see people fulfilling our needs. Yes, if God wants to speak to someone to pay your rent, he will do that. But we need to walk by faith. Okay? So building or developing strong faith, just as a summary, is built on the right foundation. It's built on God. It's built on what God has said. The fact that he is the author and the finisher of life. The fact that he's the one that created the heavens and the earth. That he created man to fellowship with us. He is the start. And he's the finish. He's the Alpha and the Omega. And he says it himself. The beginning and the end. And no one comes to the Father except through Christ. And we need to get to that. Okay? So build your faith on God. Faith is obedient. It is intimate. It seems crazy. It has vision. It is expectant. Faith goes beyond me. Ah, can we live like that? And faith trusts only in God. Even when you have to offer up the very promise of the things to come. Faith impacts the generations. And saints, I believe in this time that we are here now on this earth, we need to walk by faith like never before. And this morning, I believe as the conviction of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you have choices to make. And what are you doing with your life? You know, this life is this long on this earth. And then it's done. I'm heading towards 50 and I'm not sure I got here. He's 16. I'm supposed to still change nappies, and he's 16. Time is like, whew, it's moving on. And it's only, you know, when you're young like him, you think, yeah, I got lots of time. But it's scary how fast life moves. Therefore, let us not waste time. Let us all make the hard decisions to follow and pursue God even in greater measure. He says, today is the day. Let us reason together. We've got no guarantee for tomorrow. How are we walking by faith today? You know, God has called us here as a congregation. And I believe God wants to do great and mighty things through this congregation. Yes, there's others, but there's a call on us to do things here where we are. Do we have the faith to pursue God in such a way that whatever happens here now will touch generations from here on? Or are we just going to gather here on Sundays and go, whoop, whoop, we had a nice service? No, no, no. We need to go beyond ourselves. So let's pray. Lord, help. Help us to walk by faith. Lord, help us to do what Scripture says, in that the just shall walk by faith. Lord God, we come before you this morning. We bring our lives. And we recognize, God, that we fall here and there. Father God, we messed up. We get distracted with things of this world. But this morning we want to come before you, and we want to bring our lives before you. And we say, Jesus, here I am. I recognize these amazing men that has gone before us. This cloud of witnesses, Lord God. The faith that they had. The absolutely crazy stuff that they did, and how they saw your deliverance and your power and your might just accompany them. And may we be like that, Father. May we obey you in that same way.